But yeah, I went to bed at like 9 o'clock last night.
Oh,
like on the dot, passed the fuck out, Snoresville.
What the fuck were you doing in the day,
dude? It was a long day.
It's been some long days.
Yeah, man. I feel that. Man.
And then I started up at the gym, so now I'm conditioning training.
Are
at
you
the
in
gym.
The morning or?
Oh yeah, I saw Chloe kicking your ass in there.
Yeah.
You're, that's
by the way, I gotta house, get right? I gotta get some video on you. So Monday, you coming in? Hopefully,
yeah, I'll be here on Monday.
Good. Oh, okay.
Good.
I don't. I can't do morning workouts, bro. It's fucking.
You can't do what?
I can't do morning workouts.
I sleep so well now.
Listen, man. Yeah, the thing is getting yourself on a schedule. If you hit that schedule and you stick to that schedule,
yeah,
your body becomes a machine.
Yeah, it does.
You get past that 2 week mark, bro.
You just have an itch.
Yep.
I get moody.
Like you don't work out?
I need to work out. Mm. I got to get at least 45 minutes of cardio or something.
I had to hop back on mine. So, like, I remember, like, work was, like, just, like, I was.
Has work been hitting a little harder lately?
Oh, are we already recording?
Yeah.
I think people have just been hitting a lot harder lately.
Is that what it is?
I think it's a combination of everything in the world.
Do you think
it's been stressful?
I think so. I'm going to lean on
I'm keeping my bubble with the gym and working out jiu-jitsu. I'm kind of keeping focused with all this. And
I'm starting to limit my bubble because I can't.
No, I need this.
I'm getting a lot of rage, homie.
Need this.
My brain was hitting some real dark spots when I was like only coming like once a week. And like, I was like, I need to get back to 4 days minimum. So this is like week 3, 4 days minimum, and it's like perfect.
Bro, how weird
and this is
it?
The perfect intro for the next episode of the D-Squad. Welcome to our Man Talk. Yes, our ritual combat rituals and like why so important. Not just the gym, but like definitely like getting into like combat training. I think combat training is 100% so important for male, female, I think everybody should be doing it, some sort of ritualized combat to some level.
I agree. First, as someone who's not doing combat training currently.
Why not, Craig? Like,
I'm just doing weight training right
why?
Now.
Why? Why haven't
because
you gotten back
I'm
into it?
Because I'm 430 pounds.
That doesn't mean so.
I can't roll with somebody. I'll fucking kill them.
I'll roll with you right now, Craig.
I would roll with you, too. Let's go.
You guys are monsters. I've seen you.
I would roll. We'll put on some gloves. We'll do some sparring. We'll hit the...
We got a big dude on our team.
Yeah.
No, I meant just weight-wise.
It doesn't know. Bro, that's weight doesn't matter. You know what matters? You know what matters in jiu-jitsu? It's not your weight. It's your fingernails.
Oh, hell no. I'm slapping the fuck out of you, Scratch.
Exactly.
I will slap you mid-roll.
I think he told me that. He's like, bitch, if you scratch me.
The only thing that matters in jiu-jitsu.
Is fingernails.
No, the two things that matter in jiu-jitsu is your gi must be clean.
You cannot smell.
You cannot smell.
I fucking hate that.
And you better not have it. Fingernails are bad, but if you got toenails, yo.
Yeah.
You scratch me with some toenails, I'm sorry. I will go from like, you know, smooth, chill roll.
I cut mine so short, I bleed. Look at my big toe.
Goddamn.
Look at that.
Damn.
Because I don't like my shit long.
Do you just go to like a pedicurist or something?
No, you're looking at him.
I go every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks?
I just cut on myself. I mean, my fingernails.
I probably need to go
to
some.
Listen, I walk around. I have a nail file and fingernail clippers in my bag.
Dude, between bacteria, like you can go cut someone, they can get infected, and it's just.
You can absolutely tell a guy's relationship status by the status of his fingernails. 100%.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
We're all looking at it. I was like, what does that mean?
I cut mine down because
mine's are pretty low. So I'm
because we don't want to scratch no one.
Sexual demon. That's why. So
well, you don't want to scratch anyone.
Demon.
Anyway, so let's jump back because Rick was saying like, you know, when he was only coming once a week, he was going into a dark spot there. Like,
yeah, man.
What's the diff, man?
Yeah, no.
Since you're like kind of like probably like the new-ish one because B started like you started training before Rick did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
B started before me. Yeah, for sure. So, when I was coming like on a regular basis, it was definitely like, you know, clear mind. It gave me something to like, you know, look forward to. It was like even when I was done with training, I'd go home and I like kind of just replay the stuff that we worked on and the stuff that we did in my head and like, okay, what I do next time, you know, kind of like, and like throughout the day, like, you know, I just run simulations in my head. Like, okay, this is what we did. Maybe next time when I go in there, I try this or whatever.
You know, I think the best thing that happened. I'm gonna give myself a little pat on the back for it. But not really. But you winning that fight camp and winning that fight camp to be able to train with the guys has been like a big difference in your life.
Dude, you are literally the center of it all between, especially for me.
Facts. Well, Osai is the reason that I came to John Way anyway.
Right.
Like, same here. Like straight up. Like, right. I, hands down. Like, the reason I came to John Way is me beating Osai at a coffee shop. Beating him at K-Rico.
Right.
And literally,
for real?
Yeah, I met Osai.
He was like the center.
Bro.
Like,
I'm not saying K-Rico, and then literally from there.
No, you're like, responsible for all this bullshit over here.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, no. You know what's funny? The first fight camp I ever did was canceled because of COVID.
Yes.
So
the fight night was canceled because of COVID. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're supposed to have fight night. Yeah. And then COVID said
people were dropping closer and closer to fight night, right?
No, we were close. We were like, all right, we were about a week out, and then. They
we're
said
a week
that
out
every,
from fight night.
Yeah, and they said every business has to close. That's when like Florida said we gotta go into lockdown. We're just like,
even my job.
Yeah, we're like, oh, shit, too. How do I
my job?
How
do I say this? So my job actually closed down before John Way had closed down.
Yep.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was restaurant. Yeah. So, but yeah, no. So you know, when the next fight camp did come around and I did it, I was like, yeah, for sure.
So many of my favorite.
After it was done, they were like, hey, you know, you do like 4 weeks with the guys, you know, on Wednesdays, and I was like, cool. And then from there, I was like, yo, can I keep training with these guys? Because this is getting fucking. This is some. Real shit right now. This is intense.
Like, what is?
Well, he trained with the fight team. He trained. I've been training with the fight team.
So train with the fight
like,
team.
Is it a fact that is it like you just get to turn your brain off while you're doing it?
That's a big part of it. That is a big part of it. That is a huge part of it. Where that you get and even like I was saying, like you know, so like I do like work with South Beach like once a year, stuff like that, and. It's hard work. It's sweaty. It's usually the same bullshit over and over. Yada, yada. But I love it because it's something different. It takes your mind off of your regular everyday and puts on something else, and you can focus on that for a little bit. But it's the same thing when you come in here to train. Like when you're training, especially if you're doing like stand-up sparring or even if you're rolling jiu-jitsu, like you can't have that whatever happened during the day. You can't have those other thoughts going on, stuff like that. You focus in on what exactly it is that you're doing. It's like that brain gets a moment to say like, and it almost goes to that primal mode. For me, it goes into that primal switch.
It kind of sounds like violent mindfulness. Like mindfulness is the big buzzword in the you know all the communities. It's like where you need to take like especially headspace.
Okay.
She's really into those TikToks.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Sorry, Rick's daughter's in the background and just had to be like, what the hell is she
vibing right now?
Just so we can clarify, she's in the back in a room where
she's not hearing
us.
This nonsense. Yeah, oh my
but
god.
We can hear her.
Yes. I thought it was a cat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, that's right. It's Rick.
It's dog. So violent mindfulness. Or
yeah, it's like where you like you see like the, all the headspace and all the other like meditation apps where they talk about like when you're being mindful is that you are aware of where you are in the moment. Mm-hmm. When you're engaging in combat sports, you don't have the opportunity. Like if your mind is somewhere else, your teacher's going to know it.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh, I see you're distracted. I'm going to fuck with you now because you're distracted.
Oh, it's not even that they see that you're distracted, especially if you're doing a sparring drills or if you're rolling.
Yeah.
Once your mind goes off of what you're doing, you're getting choked out or you're getting like, you know, I mean, sparring.
Your safety is dependent on you being very mindful of where you are in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing about it is like the safe thing about it is like, even if you're doing stand up sparring, you get hit. Mm-hmm. You know, usually you don't get hit too hard unless you really do make a huge mistake. But you know, you get hit, and for us, even though it's like it's a hit, it doesn't hurt, but you take it and you register in your mind like, damn, I wasn't paying attention, like that could have really hurt, that could have been big. Or you get in a situation, you tap out, which a lot of people don't like to tap out. I got over that. Like a lot of new people starting off, you don't
when
like
you're
to tap
first,
out
when you're new, you don't want
yeah
to
you don't want to tap out for nothing.
But it doesn't benefit anyone.
It doesn't benefit
tapping out is beta.
If we're sparring, if it's just training in the gym, I will tap out. If it feels good, feels locked in. All right, you got it, man.
Yeah, you got it. Like I, you know, I'm a pro, but I had like a green belt tap me out the other day. I was like, you know what? He was really working hard for that arm bar. For that arm bar. I was like, let me let him have it. Let's go. Good job. You gonna tap out for that one? I was like, I could have stayed there, fought it, and held on.
Like, no.
Maybe he would have kept cranking and gotten it. Maybe he wouldn't. But like for the effort that he put into it, it was cool. You know, it's
that's
like,
good, man.
And
I like that.
As a coach and as a guy who's been doing it for a while, like I want everybody to come up. I remember Mario like saying that too. He's like, he wants everybody to train harder and get better so that he can have better sparring partners, better people to roll with and stuff like that, which is like I think he might have been catfishing me a little bit because you know then I try harder and he just sits on me harder and I'm just like damn it. But no, it's actually a lot of fun. The other day or you know a few months ago when the guys from Gracie came up to train with us, because jiu-jitsu for me, like, you know, just training, you know, here in the gym, like, I've been going to the same old people over and over. So it got a little boring for me, and sometimes I'm like, ah. But training with other people has completely rewoken that. Like, getting my butt whooped by these other black belts was, like, the spark that I needed to be like, yo, I still have so much further to go, which I always knew, but it kind of, like, put that back directly in front of me. And it just reignited that love for it. It's just like,
it's important to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just that.
It teaches you to be humble.
Yeah, it teaches you to be humble. It gives you something to reach for, that goal to go for that's outside of, like, and it's something that you do for yourself. Like, nothing else in society, nobody else has to care about it. It's not about the money that you make. It's not about this, not about that. It's something completely, completely for you. But as a guy, you know, coming up, and this, you know, part of the reason I think all little kids should play some sort of sport, just to learn how to win, lose, and, you know, take everything. But you need that in your life. You need something that you're doing for you that's totally about you, that you can see, maybe not even, you won't see your progress every time, but you see some sort of just like progression, or that you know, like, hey, I transition a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, I may not have won that round, but I transition a little bit better. Or your jab all of a sudden snapping a little bit faster. Or, you know, we'll talk about it in terms of martial arts. I think like a lot of, you know, any sports is good. Like, even if you're doing like fencing, I think something with that combat aspect of it has to be a part of it. I think just that animal primal part of us is still a part of us. You know, people don't want to admit it is, you know? And I think tapping into that is like that true, like, sense of happiness.
My thing is not who I am dominating on the mats, or, you know, what punch I got in on such and such. It's always been me checking myself, like, you know, where I was yesterday or last practice, what was I doing last time? And I bring it back on the mat next week, like, you know what, I'm going to work on that. Mm-hmm. And then I don't, even if I do get, you know, even if I have to tap out, at least I know I did that a little bit better, that same move.
It's the journey that you were on.
That's because I don't compare myself to anyone.
That's an important thing.
I compare myself to myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like how I was before. Some weeks I have shitty weeks that it feels like I'm just started, you know,
it is,
versus tomorrow or whatever, and all of a sudden I have the best training day ever. Those are the things that keep me going. I don't care who I'm rolling with, who I'm fighting with, who I'm sparring with. If I get my ass crushed, I get my ass crushed, but I don't feel that. I don't feel defeated on that aspect.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there definitely is like 3 to 4 different type of sparring partners you want in the classes, obviously. Like, you do want somebody that you feel like is back and forth with you, and then somebody that is like dominating you, so you kind of know where you stand.
What's
from
the most toxic?
And then somebody that's like
someone sandbagging.
Yeah.
Alright,
I don't know that term.
So toxic is like, I mean, like, toxic is when you, if you're in this class and like you have some, yeah, somebody sandbagging, or they coming in like, oh, you know, like, let's go. Well, like, alright, so like, if we're gonna go roll, you know, we have one dude who used to do this like a lot. Oh, we're gonna go like 20%. So you're going at 20%, and this guy's jumping all over you, like he's going like full on, like, yeah.
Oh,
you know,
that's fine. Yeah.
And it's not like,
that,
you know,
seems very active for, I'm like, the, do you know what 20% is?
I mean, there's a difference between, like, I understand if you're a white belt, you know, or you're a green belt, you're,
if
just
you don't
starting
know,
up,
you don't have the experience,
you know, jiu-jitsu, or like, you know, the same thing with like if you're stand up sparring, if you're saying going light, you know, some people when they first start off, the most dangerous people on the mat in training are the newest people. I think that goes for like any sport. You're going to get hurt, like going with somebody like that. Usually,
no, I'm actually training with one now. So he stays strong arming.
Who is this?
But if you have people who have been doing it for a while, I mean, and just wants to notch their belt,
yeah,
or you know, whatever, that's like, you know, or don't just state what their interests are. Like, I mean, like I said, there were times when, you know, back in the days when I was fighting, like, I know I couldn't go hard here, so I would go to other gyms, but I would tell them exactly what I'm coming for. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm coming, I want to spar and train hard. I want, you know, spar the best guys that you got in my weight class. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let them go full out.
And they were good with that. Like, because you're going to, are these different gyms that you actually had like a relationship with, or you like contacted them like that day and it's like, hey, like I'm contacting
them and be like, hey, listen, this is what I'm looking for, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to come in for like 2 or 3 classes.
We want somebody to spar with, sure. Okay, yeah.
I think the people who are against ritualistic combat are the people who only see the most toxic aspects of it.
They see violence.
Well,
I've never really heard of anybody that's really against it.
No.
You need to travel in my circles.
Yeah, there's a lot of
there's a lot of them, man.
There's a lot of moms who
you
watch
need to get
kids
out of that circle.
I think more so today. You've got a lot of helicopter parents who are like, I don't want to see my little Johnny lose, or I don't want to see like
they want to see the black belt
get pop. Yeah,
they want
or people who just didn't learn how to lose or how to train, like how not to be good at something.
Yeah.
And they stay away from it. It's toxic, and so they try to teach that to everybody else. Like, I want you to stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing about it is just like, you know, they think like by training or by rolling or by any sort of ritual combat sports, like most of it has been rendered like pretty damn safe. Hmm. You know, you might get a little nick here, a little. I mean, it's just like for me, like that sort of stuff is like when you're growing up, you get a cold, your body builds immunity. Yeah. You know,
there's more supervision here than it is in school sports. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, for sure.
The people
that I'm hearing, like, I don't get to talk to the parents. Not really like that. The people that I'm hearing the complaints from are the people who are like the, I don't want to just call them woke. That seems like a very,
because that's simplistic. A poor choice of words.
It's a terrible choice of words.
Yeah.
It's not woke. It's like they're the anti, I guess, anti red pill crowd, where it's like they only see like oh, men only use it as a way to escape from actually dealing with their problems, stuff like that.
Are you talking about hippies?
Is that, would that be the right word?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
That's the first thing. There's a thing. I came across them on Instagram, and
chicks that make their own deodorant and shit.
No.
That's so
there was
weird.
This group called like, you know, Sacred Sons or whatever, and they're on Instagram, and you know, it's like I'm not exactly sure what the whole, you know, aspect behind them is, but you know, some of the videos stuff I've seen, like, you know, they're like, it's a group of guys, they're getting together, they're like releasing their energies and stuff like that, and you think it's like this old like hippy dippy yoga type stuff or whatever, but then
smells like
it. 2-3 days ago, they had them, these two dudes, they put on some gloves, the guys just circle around, and these guys were just sparring.
Nice.
And they went at it, and then at the end, you know, it's like they got down, they hugged it out and stuff like that.
I don't know
like if it was like, you know, actual beef or they were just training, you know, or whatever it was. Uh-huh. But I like that aspect of it. Like, it shows that, you know, for me, especially going into a fight when I was fighting, like I said, I walk into the ring and I'm the person who's my opponent is going to die that day. Like, mm. that is my sole ritual. Mm-hmm. I want to put so much hurt on them, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, like, you know, end of fights. I've never really, like, hurt somebody, like, put them in the hospital or anything like that. But, like, you know, you go through your things that, you know.
You make them wake up.
Exactly. Yeah. But at the end of that fight, like, especially if they went all three rounds and especially if they gave you a good fight, mm-hmm. yo, that's at that moment in time, I love that person. They're the best person in the world. You're filled with nothing but love, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Same thing if I'm rolling, like, you know, if I'm rolling with, like, you know, another purple belt or I'm going with a black belt and I'm going all out, I'm, you know, putting my effort into it. The end of that roll, you know, you have nothing but love left in your heart. It's like whatever toxic that you had to use that for fuel. You had to use that for energy. You had to use that mm-hmm. to try and get out of this hole or to move out of this and, you know, stuff like that. Like, and putting yourself in positions where you're like, you start to test yourself. I said this before, like, and especially going with like Mario, because, you know, Mario's a sizable black belt. Mario's been like the only guy, like, I never roll with a couple guys who are like, you know, a hundred pounds heavier than me, stuff like that. Mario's the only time put me in a position where I was just like, I'm stifling. Yeah. I felt like I was just stifling it. Like, he was just
cooking.
On me.
He's just cooking,
like,
you.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, it's like,
I hate that.
You get to that point.
You're ready.
You're just cooking.
Yeah,
just
it's like,
you're ready.
It's the closest thing I had to claustrophobia ever. And it's like, I had to stop and I had to breathe through. And it's like,
that's that moment.
Bring it back home.
Yeah.
Like, don't panic. Don't lose your head.
I love that.
Don't lose your wits.
Yeah.
And yeah, I lost a round. Like, I lose every round against him or whatever. But, like, just getting through that moment and being able to say, okay, figured out a way out of it, didn't let myself lose control, didn't lose that panic. And it's, like, the same thing. You come out of that role and you're just, like, nothing but love. Like, you just have, like, I survived a lot. Like, it makes, like, all of your problems that you had before this going on, like, outside,
you just have different ones.
All of a sudden, it all evaporates. You don't think about it at the moment. It goes away.
It is strange to hear that. Very, because true. It's, like, you'll hear the argument. I don't know why I keep walking away from this. You'll hear the argument that,
I mean, I gave,
like,
you a stand and everything.
You gave me
everything. Everything.
Thank you.
Jesus.
I appreciate it.
Stay in the mic.
I think that the whole thing is that they, to hear that, that aspect of it, right? To hear that, you know, you have this release where it's just like the pent up everything that you had within you, you just feel it go away. You can feel yourself centered and at
clarity.
Just clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You will hear the words that, oh, violence is a learned response. Yeah. It's like you can just truly be peaceful by not participating. And it's just like I have found myself personally with people who don't understand that when I'm angry, I don't know what to do.
You can't run from it, man.
I can't run from it, and I'm trying to figure out
what you can't ignore it.
They're like, why are you going to the gym so much? much? Why are you doing this? Why are you fighting over here? It's like, why are you into all this aggressive stuff? And it's just like, I don't know what you're doing with all the pent up aggression that you have, but this is what I do with what with
mine. I do know of a study or a theory in more Buddhist realms where you feed certain actions, and if you stop feeding that. Kind of like that two wolves thing.
Yeah.
So if you keep feeding this violent one, this angry one, all the time with the violence that you see on television or read or even acting it, that becomes the hungrier one. That will be the dominant one, and that becomes you. So it's finding that happy road where
where it's just like, it's like, okay, you,
I don't think I'm feeding that demon.
Here's your rations.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I'm feeding the good one. You know, it's like, yeah,
feed them both.
I mean, like, I worked.
I throw kibble at them both.
I did nightclub security for like the better part of my adult years, and you couldn't afford to be a peaceful, nice person. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be professional and peaceful at night.
Every time I try to be that person, I get run over.
That's the thing. It's just like, if you decided to take that route, you're gonna get stabbed.
Right.
You're gonna get stabbed.
I'm gonna get hurt.
Someone's gonna get hurt. Yeah. My clients. Gonna
I have
get
to
hurt.
Be a dick. I gotta be hood sometimes. Right.
Every once in a while,
I gotta be hood.
Oh man. Oh man.
He's got a story for it.
Oh, I don't know if we can talk about that story on here.
Why not? Oh shit! Oh, I don't
oh man,
case,
I almost got arrested. The cop was legit. Like, yo, I know what you're feeling, bro. But he was like, if you do it, you know, I gotta cuff you. And I was like, I'm ready. I was like, give me a reason not to go to work tomorrow. Like, I was like, yo.
Yeah, I've been there, bro.
Sometimes people bring the hood out in you.
You know what's funny? Yeah, it took me a day. Polo shirt comes off. Like, I calmed down like the next day, and then I apologized to the girls that I was with. Yeah,
My thing is like people who have never been through it or been there. Like, and then you talk about like people who have never actually been into like a fight or combat or anything like that. Like, they like to run their fucking
God, they
mind.
Talk so much.
Oh, God.
And there's a
God,
thing.
So much
here's a
shit.
Thing about it is that if you train, and somebody, I was talking to somebody at my workplace. They're like, yo, I know this guy. Like, he looks like this, you know, skinny white kid or whatever. But he's been training with the Gracies, whatever. Like, he will fuck you up. Like. But some people just would just run their mouth. And I think like the causality of like what you say and not being able to back it up is a big difference. But like, you people who've been into these fights or who have trained or whatever, they don't talk about it. Like, I don't walk around with your belt on and stuff like that. You know, or you don't jump in people's faces. Like, I'm the first to back down. I'm like, listen, man. Hey, man,
and that's the beauty of the training.
Chill out.
That's what the training will do for you.
You don't want to just be a...
I was trying to be a good guy.
But
and then I got pushed.
He was in superhero mode.
Yeah, but the switch is there. Like, the switch is there. And if you had to turn it on, you had to turn it on.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one time, you know, in a club, and this dude was like, you know, I'm 6'3". He had to be at least like 6'6", 6'7". Right. It was like a good 50 pounds over me, you know. And he's squeezing by and like he's pushing me and, you know, my date back into the bar. So I just gently like, I put my hand on his back and like push him off, like step away.
Right.
Whatever. This guy turns around and looks at me and I don't know what he saw in my eyes, but I'm sure he saw the death that I was rolling in my head. Because
it was not going to go the way he
it was not. It was not. Because like, and my thing about it is just like, at that point in time, it's like, I don't get jumpy. I don't get upset. Like, if that, you know, if I get into that mode, it just goes there. It's just like, I will look at you and smile dead in your face and punch you dead in the fucking nuts.
But thing is, like within the animal kingdom, guys like built like us, you're going to get someone that's going to challenge you.
I've been dealing with this my entire life.
People will fuck with you.
My whole life.
When he says guys built like us, he's referring to Craig.
Except for Rick, I don't know.
It's like, my stature and my body shape has been like already like joked about for the past like week, okay? Apparently.
No.
You are a handsome and beautiful man.
I remember what you looked like when you first walked in.
Yeah, I didn't know you when I seen those pictures.
When you first walked in,
you were tubby.
Yeah, I gotta.
You showed me the pictures.
Bro, you were like,
dad bod for real.
It takes
a
while. You know what's funny is like, I don't remember.
But you look great.
Like, someone has to show me like a picture.
You had to show me a picture. I was like, who the fuck is this motherfucker?
Go back to fight camp photos, man.
Yeah.
Then you have to take those little accountability photos.
That's a lot of work, man.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I'm proud of the amount of work you've done. Yeah, that is insane. Yeah.
Like, no, this is me, week one.
Arthur was like, he said, yo, he said, I'm the most normal looking one here. He's like, he was like, you don't have like a lot of muscle. Like, you look normal.
Like, no one else has necks or anything.
I missed my neck. I had a neck in high school. But then they're
like, it's like,
fucking Daniel took his shirt. I was like, God damn it. I got to go to the gym, bro.
Oh my God.
But you know the thing about it is like Daniel only recently Daniel only recently started like hitting the gym to like actually get up his strength and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was all just natural, just like training. Nah, just training.
He started
from day one.
He did the right thing from the get go.
From the jump.
He's young.
He didn't have 10 years of college parties and beer and pizza.
Oh, you know? Pizza's delicious though, God damn it.
Study all night and eat pizza.
I had 10 years of a lot of things.
But yeah, but
10 years of a lot of horseshit.
A lot of that.
But back to that, yeah, like, you know, guys who, like, you know, train all the time or, you know, like, train, like, you know, like I said, we're just not just talking about training in the gym because there's a difference between training in the gym. Training in the gym, like, when I go to the gym, I literally go to hurt myself. Like, that's the that's the level of push that
I'm going to limp out of there.
Yeah, I'm going to limp out of there. Like, you know, when I get on those, I did my first workout back because I did South Beach and then I needed that workout to come back. But they're doing, like, they warmed up with Sally.
Oh my God! I remember you.
And like people were dying.
Did you play the song?
Stuff like that. Yeah, they played the whole song.
I have PTSD from Sally.
And I'm just like, but
bring
for me,
Sally that, up. Shut the fuck up.
But for me, that was a finisher on the leg press with like three caddies
on a leg press.
Yeah, on a leg press as a finisher. That was like I would, you know, I'll do my sets, I do my leg workout, stuff like that, and then I'll put three plates on the leg press, and I'll do Sally's with it. So for me, like that was like nothing. Like, you know what I mean? I have to say, like, everybody has their limits. As you progress, as you get better, you have to like step up your levels a little
bit
more.
Shout out to that therapist we had on the past. We need to bring her back.
Anyway,
fuck.
I don't feel like she dove enough into Osai.
You, bro. God damn.
I'm saying that to say.
What happens when you use butt plugs?
That's it, bro. For real.
I'm just playing. Oh, no, the vibrating nothing. Yeah,
I thought it was the
cock ring. Yeah, the cock ring. Yeah.
You gotta leave my vibrating cock ring alone. Yeah. It's great. But anyway, the gym is one thing, and like you leave there, and it's like, yeah, you get some relief, but I don't get that lasting satisfaction I get from like rolling, having two or three good rolls, or standing up and like sparring, or even just hitting the bag. Like I came in this morning and like worked on the heavy bag for like a good 30 minutes just to like. Just to, you know, and sometimes it's just
impact.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. It's just like, you know what? I got to go hit something. So let me get in here and just hit.
No one understands that when I say that. I need to hit things.
I feel like you connect with people on a different level when you do ritual combat with them.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's a connection.
There's an exchange.
You really can't even like explain.
Yeah, there's an exchange of
energy, right?
Yeah,
you both have this singular energy that just
rolling with them, sparring with them, or even like ones you go like in like fights with, and like they go the distance with you.
Yeah,
just like, dude, like I'll remember you.
Yeah,
I'll remember you forever.
Tracy was talking about like training partners, like one of the toxic things when I was referring to the sandbagging is like the ones that don't give you resistance.
And they don't.
Oh,
give
like
you
what? Like a dead fish?
Like a dummy.
Yeah, yeah, like a dead fish.
Basically, like a body dummy.
Yeah, he's like, come on, give
like
me some
like
resistance.
That's like a limp handshake, but way like, worse.
If we're doing a drill, don't just lay there. Like, give me some resistance, like you real world. Just move your shit a little bit differently where you would be
that
real world.
Very frustrating.
I mean, even like if we're doing drills, like you know, if you're like in your if you're in a BJJ class or whatever, or even like Muay Thai, you know, like we're doing the drills. Like if we're doing drills to like you know to push through your guard or something, give me some resistance so I know what I have in store.
Yeah, you have to.
Because you're creating a weakness for me.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Now I'm gonna have this false sense that I'm doing something
right.
Way.
And then when you actually go and do it, you didn't
get hit in the fucking face.
You're like, oh.
There was a
I didn't see that coming in practice.
There's a thing that absolutely terrifies me, and that is just how quickly depression can seep in. Because for my entire life, I thought depression was you like, you know, you get the sad gloomies.
Get
and you're
sad.
Like, you just it's,
get sad.
Depression
and
literally is just you
it's
don't
temporary.
Have you don't have energy to do the things that normally give you happiness.
Right. Mm.
And yeah, there's a mentality like that.
Yeah,
I mean, I like what B said, and it's like for most people, like for me, I'm the same way. I used to think about it like that, but like some people, when they get into that spiral, it's really
brutal.
You can go in there,
and it could happen.
It's not as fast. I mean, yeah, I know. I say it's temporary. It's not a short stint. Recognize it. Do what you got to do. Mm. Feel the feelings. Be the sad.
Be the sad.
Drink the beers.
Be the sad.
Be the sad, and then know that there's hope. and that you can recover from it.
There's jiu-jitsu.
Well, I think yeah, and like I said, there's jiu-jitsu.
There's jiu-jitsu.
Part. Like I think when
do
you
something
are,
that gets you close
or
to
the
death.
Gym.
Yeah,
the gym.
Like when you are, it kind of like I think like for that, like I'm not a person that's depressed, but like for the people that I do know who have trained while they're depressed or while they're worried or they have high anxiety, is that once you're able to get through that class, uh-huh. you realize you conquered a little bit of that depression or you conquered a little bit of that anxiety. I'm talking about like for a lot of women who try to stay away from it too, like, oh no, I don't want to get hurt, or they really, you know, are worried about it, you know,
get hurt, get the ice bath.
No, it's, you know, don't get hurt.
No, that's not
just buy your bag of ice on the way home.
I think the benefits of it, I think the same benefits that we can talk about it as men, I think a lot of, if you talk to women who train, a lot of women get the same effects from it. Like you develop this character sense about yourself. You think of yourself a little bit, you know, your back's a little bit straighter, your shoulders are back a little bit more. Like, you know, I've known women who are like, you know, no, I'm not going to compete. I'm not, you know, I'm have a guy on top of me. No, never. Mm-hmm. And now, like, you know, they're rolling and tapping guys out, like left, right, and center. And I say that to say, like, I think more women should definitely be involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I think it's just a basic primal instinct of just humanity. When you have to let go of everything that you thought you were, in that moment you become who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, ladies, I have seen your final evolution. I saw three female UFC fighters this morning. They are...
Final evolution. No. They
are very...
growth.
I have seen the final form. Do it.
I want all three.
Do it. They are. Listen, you don't get to have them. They get to have you.
I'm fine with that.
These are warrior women.
I'm okay with this.
I outweighed the three of them combined, and they were literally. They were eye beating my ass.
Yes, please.
They were just looking at me. They're like, bro, I could fuck you up right now. And I was just like, why?
I don't think like fighters of that caliber walk around thinking shit like that.
It wasn't that they were thinking. It was just like
they're not saying, who can I beat up today?
I'm a 400-pound black man.
No, they're like, who's going to pay me to beat you up today?
When I walk in, people look at me and go, oh, look, it's a dude Fox News warned me about. And then they walk away very quickly. They're like, I'm not fucking around with that. I've been dealing with my whole life. They were staring me dead in my eyeballs. They were like, what's up, bro? What you doing here, homie?
Oh, no shit.
I was like, oh, okay, all right. Very aggressive, ladies. I'm sorry.
I just think it's just...
That's the conversation that was going on in Craig's head.
Yeah,
that's the conversation that was... Like, they were just...
I mean, we all think
just
that
like, like,
we all have
bro?
Our trauma from that.
Yeah, but for them, I'm sure they were just like...
They were very sweet. They were very, very...
To them, they were like, it was a black guy that broke into my car. That's why I don't like black people. You know? That's kind of like how that goes. Everyone's trauma is different.
Why couldn't it be a Cambodian that broke into my car?
Or a Cambodian dude. Whatever.
Video recording this. We have to start video recording these.
Now that we're a little smaller. Yeah, now that we're a little smaller, we definitely can. We will. Not going to lie. We will.
There have been a lot of Asian breaking.
But yeah, it's just like, listen, ladies, go fucking train.
That Asian killed my dog. Now I hate Asians.
There you go. But that's how it's like their own personal trauma is what I was getting at.
Oh my lord.
Is it right? No, it's not right. You can't.
That white person didn't season that chicken for the salad.
That bitch put raisins in the potato salad.
She put raisins in the potato salad.
I'll never go to a white cookout.
Chick-fil-A is off my list.
Wedding.
So that is a Midwest and North, like North.
Nah, cycle. That's just whatever.
Southern white people season their shit a lot.
But so much mayo everywhere.
They just put, Southern white people, they do not count when we talk about white people who don't season their
food. No, because they learned a long time ago during their ancestralhood that they learned to cook from slaves. From slaves, so they had some flavor.
Yeah, no, they
they start eating
there's
black people, they're like, oh, wait.
Right. Like, wait, this is good shit.
They don't season their food. They just get that bear mace and they just mace the whole hometown buffet. Like, it's not even edible anymore. Like, this is battery acid. What the fuck is wrong with you? You can't eat this fuck shit. I'm sorry.
All right, back to it.
We always circle back to that, right?
I'm so glad you're here, bro. I go off every tangent.
But culturally speaking, about ritual martial arts or whatever, I mean, would it be, isn't it the same across the board globally?
I mean, I think every culture has every like culture some has sort of like martial arts. Yeah, some sort of martial arts. I mean, anything from like boxing to, you know,
like capoeira. I didn't know kickboxing was like French. Like they have like kicking.
Oh, I thought that was Silat?
Silat, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that the kicking sport?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I saw that on Street Fighter. You know that guy?
Yeah. But yeah, all kinds of sports, like all kinds of martial arts. I think, like I said, it for me, it's important for everybody to train that in a certain sense, because, like I said, it's not to be used for, like, you know, you're gonna defend yourself or you gotta learn how to do self defense.
It's not.
It's
a bad
really
idea.
Just
it's
for the
bad,
life.
It's not the worst idea to get comfortable with your body in a combat setting.
Yeah. Right. It's that life setting, and I think, like, you know, the thing about it too is, like, especially the aspects of jiu-jitsu. And now, like, you know, we used to talk about jiu-jitsu as, like, it's chess with your body.
Yep.
And yeah, but now I even started relating to my stand-up striking game. It's like, it is chess with your body at 10 times higher speed.
Mm-hmm. Speed chess.
Yeah, it is. It's speed. You got to check this, move that, da-da-da-da. There's a counter for every move.
Yeah.
You know, there's a strategy to it. There's instincts. It's like, it's a game. It really is game theory, like, you know, at a faster speed with stand-up. MMA is even, like, faster because now you have the up and you have the down. You know, jiu-jitsu, you can move at a little bit slower pace. Like I said, when I'm rolling jiu-jitsu, Jitsu, there's a jazz song, where there's a Tribe Called Quest song running through my head. When it's stand up, I'm playing like a rock song
got
in my head. Like
theme music playing while he's
I definitely listen to different tracks.
I have
when
a pre-workout playlist.
Oh,
and then
I'm,
I have
I'm
a
not making fun of you guys. Yeah. I have one. It's fucked up though. I listen.
But that's intense training coming from the MMA aspects of using like Muay Thai, kickboxing, and then transitioning to jiu-jitsu, and then going back, and then because that's the MMA game.
Yep.
And MMA, that'll. I'm sorry, but that kind of gave me a bit of a chub. So.
Why do you think I have my legs crossed right now?
I love that shit.
Sitting next to you,
just seeing that wall over there. You know.
Let me go throw some.
Because I know
I've
seen
goddamn cult.
I've watched these guys train over here, and I see it translate into the cage, and I see. The work that they're doing
really
from day
cool
one
watch,
is just
man.
Like, oh my God. I know in the beginning we had problems when they're against the cage. Now we're working on this. Like, dude, they're fucking nailing it.
Yep.
So when I see one of our guys against the fucking fence, it's like, oh, they got this.
They know what they're doing. But to get back to it, like when, you know, Craig said, like, you know, 400 pounds, why don't you train that? It's like, your weight should not be an aspect of it. It's just really the mentality behind it. I think you give yourself a complex by saying, like, I'm 400 pounds. I can't do this.
You know, there's a sumo
school.
There's a sumo school.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a sumo school. But I mean,
if you want to get into that.
Yeah, whatever aspect of it is that you want, you can do it. Like, you don't hold yourself back because of, like, you know, your weight. Same thing, I don't tell people, don't hold yourself back because of your sex. Like, it is important for
Kill yourself.
Don't murder yourself. Very important. Don't do yourself.
You have nothing to prove. Just do shit that you're comfortable with, but do shit.
Well, I do weight training. I hit a PR this morning. Okay. Very, very happy for myself.
Right. But
325 people. I'll let you
But we just talked about, like, you know, it's different. Like, you know, the
workout.
The level that you get from the gym and then what you get from, like, this combat training is too.
It's problem solving.
So what you're saying is, I need to start.
You're not solving problems.
People.
You're not solving. I mean, I'm not trying to belittle gyms or do the workout at the gym, but you're not solving problems.
Well, right.
Humans need to solve problems.
There's a problem with the gym, and it's the reason why it's so pervasive with toxic nonsense. Is that when you go to the gym, it is a very, like, it can be. You can have a gym partner,
but
it can be a
still
very
isolate.
Solitary.
People
stare.
Solitary. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's very solitary.
You can start reinforcing darker shit because you're by yourself. Whereas if you're doing ritualistic combat, you don't have a choice. If you come in and you got a dark cloud hovering over your head,
suck it up,
people
buttercup,
are going to immediately know something's up.
Yeah, it's going to be gone. Yeah, we're going to be like,
we're
going to
take
roll,
care of that. We got you.
Yeah.
It's a family and then thing.
Yeah, your inclusion. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the energy levels when you are training in a group or, you know, even with another person, when you have to put hands and physically touch another human being. You know, like you said, we exchange energy. So, like, even if you had that dark cloud or, like, worried about this or worried about that.
We're all there.
After a while, you're walking. This was years ago, but I remember seeing people walk in and you could tell they had a bad day and they're here for like 10 minutes and you can see them starting to lighten up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just by just being in the area.
My daughter always brings it up. I drive differently when I'm on my way here versus leaving.
Really?
My driving styles are completely different. You probably heard it before.
Your mindset's different afterwards.
You're dude, like, I'm trying to get to practice. So you're fucking whipping through traffic. You're trying to, I got there.
And you
leave practice, dude, I barely do the speed limit going back home. People cut me off, I'm riding the right lane. I don't give a fuck. Okay, this guy slow down. Okay, I'm gonna slow down too. I'm not gonna whip. And that's how it is every fucking time.
Right.
Mm.
It's great. It's great. That it's release. That's just release.
I definitely drive.
Are you saying that I need to get some calmer. Ritual combat?
Yeah, yeah. When I leave, I drive mad calmer.
He's saving gas and shit.
Yeah. I'm looking at my RPMs. Are you kidding me? I'm obeying the traffic signals. I don't care if the guy in front of me is actually going to speed limit.
Yeah, it don't matter.
No, because you're replaying like your training session or you're thinking about like, you know, everything. But like I said, nothing else matters. Like the stuff that used to be like those angst that we had, those little pet peeves, like they're gone.
Wash away. Yep. They're no longer important because you literally put yourself in a situation that was tough.
Yeah. That was tougher than whatever else that you had going on. And you're just like, oh shit.
That's another thing actually that I appreciate now that I'm, you know, back doing like a minimum 4 days a week is that when I get out of here, anything I have left to do for the day does not seem that big a deal at all.
No,
I feel like I've done the hardest part of my day. Yeah. Like I get done doing Muay Thai or get done doing MMA class or get done training with the fight team or whatever the case may be. Or like if I go do weights with my brother, hardest part of my day is done. Mm-hmm. I already pushed my body.
Right.
I feel like this is an infomercial for like Billy Blanks.
Oh, kickboxing. Billy Blanks.
Do plates.
Shout out Billy Blanks.
But let me ask.
Tybo. I miss
Tybo.
For me,
showed our age, goddammit.
Like for mine, like I know my girl, I mean, Nicole, she comes in, she does Wing Chun. She wants to get back into jiu-jitsu, now that her hip is fixed and yada yada. Nice. So she went to get back into it. So she wants to like definitely train a lot harder.
Hip 2.0.
What holds Misty back?
I enjoyed Roland with B actually.
Oh no, I love Roland B. I was asking what holds his woman back from like actually.
I don't know. I she's probably gonna kill me talking about her fitness
journey. I ain't talking shit.
I ain't saying nothing. Misty, I love you.
You watched
my bag at Gracie's.
A while back I got into kickboxing, which is literally just kicking the bags and stuff and you don't really kicking people. She enjoyed it. She liked it, but we were at a place where we were going there every day anyway, so she was there, so I might as well just do the class.
Yeah.
Now it's convenience is kind of out the window, I ended up buying a bag and she could do it there.
But I can't
force someone to do something they don't want to.
Right.
And if I do and I get them to go, it's not going to last.
Misty, I support anything that you want to do. Fed me. Anybody who feeds me, they get the blood oath. You just tell me.
Well, my thoughts is I want to know like what holds like a lot of women back, like, you know, from doing this. Like what, you know.
They succumb to the I'm tired. I came home from work. Now, granted, she does a lot in the day. I mean, she gets up at the butt crack of dawn and her tasks start and fucking end. Right before she either picks up her head from bed and down when she goes down, she's doing something in between. She's not just idle.
Right.
So it's kind of tough. It's like, okay, I'm going to dedicate 2-3 hours to myself. It's hard for a lot of parents to do that. I get it. I've seen it. I've been there.
And, do you think it makes you a better parent that you do some combat training?
I do it definitely because I do it with my kid. So it's a family affair. And then when you include that, it takes the work away. Even though, hey, the laundry piles up. We don't know what the fuck we're going to eat for dinner. You know?
That's like standard. That's like standard operation.
But like, you know, like if she does something like after, like say you had just had a great session and then she's like, Dad, I got an F on my report card. Things that you normally blow up on, how do you feel about it like afterwards? Is it just kind of like, you know, so I'm sure you just don't blow it off, but do you think you find a solution better after you train than you do like before?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit more clarity, but with training, it changes your mindset. It changed my mindset. I just look for answers.
Yeah.
I find the answers. I don't create problems because I have problems.
Mm-hmm.
So if my daughter came home with an F, I'm going to say, okay, well, I guess you're going to need a tutor. So we're going to situate ourselves to where we're going to take you to a tutor.
I like that.
And bring yourself up. Maybe stay at school a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure it out.
If we have to shift things around and make that a priority for a little bit, you figure out why you made an F, bring the grade up, and then we go back to our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, you definitely work in tech support. Very pragmatic, very so. It's like, okay,
yeah,
so
you know,
but
the
I don't think it's like, no, I don't think it's just a thing for tech support. I was actually like, as a parent, people who work at tech support can still be dicks to their kids.
Oh my god, they're awful.
That's true. Like, if you such a tech
Google
support, because you come home with like
fucking
a lot
Google.
Of like,
is it Google
like
broken?
What about you, Rick? Like, what's your daughter? Like, afterwards, are you like different type of dad person? Like, is your mentality a little bit different? Like,
my patience is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes she says a couple of things, and I got to be like, hold on.
Wait.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Wait.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're in.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait. I was like, you don't want me to say it? I was like,
no, no, no.
Yeah, no, no, no. So, like, sometimes, like, you know, I might pick her from school and, you know, like, teacher might tell me she did something or whatever. And I'm like,
you got a gatekeeper.
Okay. And I'm like, I got to be like, I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and knock this gym session out real quick. And then I can approach this from a calmer standpoint, not just, you know. Back when I was young, you know, teachers say, you know, kid acted up or whatever, you know, there's some type of punishment, there's some type of, it's like, you know, my way goes type deal. And I'm like, you know what, let me go ahead and like knock out this session real quick. And I come back, I'm like, all right, let's talk about what happened at school today.
You know, I think that's the way you're supposed to do it. Like, you go through this. You go have a session first. Yeah. You let it mull, like, explain to me in your words.
Yeah, you know,
exactly,
what you think happened today and what you think did was wrong, if anything.
Some parents taking some hard shit, bro. I look at you guys, I'm like, mother.
Listen, kids are like sponges. They're just gonna absorb everything. They're gonna absorb words, they're gonna absorb attitudes, emotions, behavior.
Even if you don't think they're watching you,
they're watching you.
And you don't, and you, even though you think you're not a big significance,
they even absorb inaction.
Well, here's the thing,
like,
about
even
it.
Even inaction is absorbed.
Yeah, yeah, but the thing that, like, the greatest thing, like, kids do is, I mean, how they learn everything in the world is mimicry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's first mimicking their parents.
God, don't mimic.
And then
the
peer pressure sets in, so it's mimicking their peers.
Yes.
And that's where peer pressure comes in. But the overriding factor at first is kids always want to impress that adult, mm-hmm. or adults that they hold high esteem
Weakness.
For.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they always want to be that way. Craig,
nope.
Got a question for you. So, like, if you were walking into your first, like, Muay Thai class, mm-hmm. being that you said you're a bigger guy, whatever, mm-hmm. is your greatest worry that, one, you may do something wrong and hurt somebody?
The shorts.
Or, two, and you think you might embarrass yourself and be like, you know, like, I'm only going to last, like, 5 or 10 minutes. I'm not going to be able to finish the class.
I'm embarrassing myself, 100%.
You think it's going to be, you worry more about embarrassing yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why? Like, explain, like, the horror story. Like, what plays in your head like that?
It is irrational trauma built up from a lifetime of being the biggest thing in the room. And it is, I learned to deal with that by being the most boisterous and the loudest thing. So I could cover up a lot of mistakes with just being a loud asshole.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Trump does the same thing. He's very good at it. Where all you do is you be the loudest, most boisterous thing in the room, and people will forgive a lot of your bullshit.
He's just a really good content creator.
He's a very good content creator.
That's the difference between him and Biden.
Yeah, man.
Trump creates content.
Yeah.
Biden ain't creating no fucking content.
It's like he doing the work.
Gas. No. It's just, I don't know how. As an adult, I'm better at it now.
Yeah.
But it would be like, for me personally, I'm learning to get better and to deal with it. It's a lot of taking my pride out of it and being able to admit as a man, I need help.
Yeah.
But it is still like walking into an unfamiliar area. I'm still very, very conscious of me, myself, my body image, my mm-hmm. body image issues, stuff like that.
The thing is, and, you know, and he knows because he came to John Way for a little bit. You know, it's not like that. You know,
I know.
Like,
my logical brain knows it, but
that little voice in the back of the head
never
is like, no,
stops.
Yeah.
No.
I was gonna say, like, any person who's thinking about this, or you know, have those fears that are similar, but like, one of the biggest things about it, like, especially if you have a really good school or a good, you know, good location, is it's like, to be honest with you, nobody's looking at you.
No one gives two shits.
Cause
everyone
and the thing about it, like,
everybody's
focusing on themselves.
Yeah, everybody's focused on themselves because everybody has the same thoughts that you have. Everybody has those same inner thoughts, those same inner demons. Even myself, walking into a new, you know, martial arts studio or gym or someplace I'm going to go train or whatever. Mm. Like, you know, I have those same like little inner demons. Like, damn, I'm going to embarrass myself. I'm going to be like the work I did the other day. So it's like, you know what? Maybe I'm in better shape than most of you people, but I'm still going to, you know, maybe I'm going to suffer. Maybe I'm not going to make it through this workout. Whatever.
Shoot.
The other thing about it too is just like the inclusivity of a group session is that you ride that wave of like everybody is cheering for you, everybody's pushing you forward too. Like even though they're not paying attention to you or like everybody has their same little traumas going on, everybody wants to see you take a step forward.
Yeah.
There is one other thing. There's one other thing. And that is when I'm mad or when I'm depressed, I don't want to be fixed. I just want to be mad and depressed. And a lot of that comes from, I don't want to walk into a place where people can see that I'm visibly angry and then they go and fix it. I don't want to share that kind of darkness with anyone.
You just like the waller in it.
Well, and I understand that to a point.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing a therapist for it. But it's what's really going on. When I'm angry, I want to go to the gym and I want to listen to like the Doom 2016 soundtrack. And I don't want to talk to anyone.
That.
I just want to be angry. I want to bang out weights and I want to hurt myself, like Osai said. I want to hurt myself.
That's some self-destructive behavior.
It's some super self-destructive behavior. Yeah. So, but it's just like when you come into an area like here, I know that if I get in my car, I'm like, I'm going to John Wise right now, right? I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to go over there. I had a bad day. A girl I was talking to, she decided to ghost me, whatever. I'm in a murderous mood. Mm-hmm. If I go there, it's going to get fixed, but I don't want them to fix it. I just want to be mad.
But the thing about it, it's like nobody's going to fix it.
No. It's not that.
You fix it yourself.
Yeah. When you walk in, it's just like I said, you'll see people who walk in and you see that you can see them wearing their bad day and it dissipates on its own. Nobody actively does anything, but people can feel that like something happened. They're not smiling. You can kind of feel that something's off.
Right.
They'll come in, they'll unpack their stuff. Well, back when they had the lockers and stuff over here, they'll come in, they'll unpack their stuff. They'll put their bag by the, by the floor. And like, as people approach them and they start talking, it's like, hey, what's going on? It's like, their mood will begin to lighten naturally. Nobody went and fixed them just by default of just them being here.
Why? But like, my thing is, as I'm sitting like, so why would you want to stay in that place? And not saying like anybody's trying to fix it, but I just think like,
he's kind of emo.
Emo thing. It's literally a lot of people, I feel,
it's your comfort.
Have the same problem. It's that it's your comfort. You're used to being angry. You're used to being depressed. You're used to being in that dark place. It's a comfortable place to be. You're familiar with it. You know how to react with it. So when you're when that's taken away from you and you're like suddenly you feel good about yourself, you feel good about where you are, all you're waiting for is you're waiting for the eventual drop back down to where you're normally at, and you don't want to go through that.
That's the thing. Like, I think like when you go into like these zones with, like I said, with Rich Combat, like for a little while, you don't think about that drop.
For a little while, you don't think about the drop, but when you're gone, when you're back in your car and you're by yourself again, you go to your place.
You didn't go home.
Yeah, but like, no. Those thoughts come back. Like I said, it doesn't solve anything. The same thing, like, John's, professor came in and was saying, like, listen, if you tap or you don't tap, turn around, whatever, your car insurance is still the same. Your home insurance is still the same. Your wife is still yelling at you.
Gas price is still $6.
The thing is like, you know, you're still going to have the same problems that you walked in. But for that instant or for those moments, you get to breathe and your consciousness literally expands, or your thought patterns literally expand. So those things that were bothering you, maybe you'll find an answer to it, or maybe you just find a different way of dealing with it, or maybe you realize like it doesn't really bother you that much anymore. It's still the same problem, but your reaction to it now is not going to be the same as it was before.
This is something that definitely requires, this is why mental health is extremely important. Definitely. Get help. But you've seen what happens when you take a deep sea creature and you bring it up to the surface and it turns to mush. A person who is in a dark place and is comfortable with being in a dark place doesn't want to have to go through decompression to get recompressed to go back down again. They don't want, it's to be aware of just how angry you are all of the time is very disheartening. Because when you have those moments of genuine happiness and comfort, you're like, I'm unfamiliar with this feeling and I know bad is coming. You start to fear it, and you fearing the eventual drop makes your life worse. So you'll see places or people who bring joy and bring happiness, and you will by default isolate yourself from them, because I don't want to have to deal with the highs and lows of feeling better and then feeling worse and then feeling better again. I would rather just stay in this hole because life is shit anyways. So I'm just going to wear black and listen to the Doom 2016 soundtrack.
I think that's I think we have two different trains of thoughts there.
Yeah, no. This is a personal thing, but it's
okay. Yeah,
I feel like somebody who hears this, it might resonate with them, maybe. Gotcha. But it's
like I said, I'm more of a half and half guy. Like I understand that in my life, I'm going to have moments where I'm sad and angry, and I'm going to have moments where I'm happy and ecstatic. And for me, I'm like, I just level them out, and I just try not to let
one dominate
the other.
Yeah. Like, haven't you met miserable people who are just like, they're miserable and they seem extremely comfortable with being miserable?
And none of them train martial arts.
None of them. Yeah. They suck. Yeah. I'm just kidding. They don't suck. They're just in a bad place.
There's days where I get sad. Listen, I can't talk about on this right now because it's going to go live, but I'll tell you guys afterwards. But for like the last 3 weeks, I have been dealing with like heavy as the head that wears the crown, and I have been dealing
with some king shit. Huh?
Bad shit that I've had to deal with. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, I work through it. I go to the gym. Eases my mind. I keep working through it. And, you know, because I know, like, in life, I'm going to have sad moments, happy moments, and I'm going to work through that shit.
I will look into some ritualistic content.
Once everything is passed and done, I enjoy my happy moments. My happy moments right now are screaming in that room over there.
She is singing her love song.
I need that kind of freedom in my life.
She's just having a good old time.
That's the energy.
That's the energy that you bring for life, man.
Yeah.
It is, you don't have to be.
You don't give a fuck. I don't care those guys I don't even know can hear me.
Yeah.
I'm going to belt it out.
Belt it out, baby.
I'm going to sing at the top of my lungs.
Yeah. That's right. I don't give a shit.
That's right.
I don't care how you feel.
It's definitely not a good way to be, man. I don't advocate for it at all.
And I'm glad you're getting help.
It's something that I recognize. Yeah.
I'm glad you're getting help.
But it is, it's scary, man. Yeah. It's scary. You don't want to. Like,
I think they should combine it, though. I think definitely some mental health should be combined with some sort of like physical. I was talking to one therapist, and unfortunately, she moved away. Tally, I love you if you still listen to this.
Shout out to
But she was even talking about, she was like, you know what, there should be a correlation. Like, there's definitely a correlation when she comes in, like, have a bad day, stuff like that. Like, and she was going through fight camp when she had some of her toughest moments and would leave here in tears. And she was like, I would be crying because just felt like the weight of the world on her. But it was honestly like the best moment because she's releasing. It's like what you had compacted inside. It's all of a sudden like,
and
that's one of the things. It's like with fight camp training or with, you know, if you're pushing yourself, it's just like, I tell people all the time, it's like holding down feelings, thoughts, and energy. I mean, holding down feelings and thoughts takes energy.
Yeah.
And it's, when you're it's very exhausting being angry.
You're pushed to the point where you can't, your body's so starved for energy, you're trying to figure out this and trying to figure out that, like, you don't have the energy to hold those back at bay anymore.
Yep.
So it releases them. Yep. And as scary as it is for a lot of people to release them, you get them out. You put the light on them. And all of a sudden, that big monster that you thought was hiding in a closet, it's a puppy dog.
And it's definitely manageable.
A lot of it, because I know you were hospitalized as well, right?
Yes, I was.
There is such a thing as like a hospitalization PTSD.
I believe that.
And
I 100% believe
that. You don't recognize it. It's not blatant, but you always feel threatened. The anger, because that, you know, most people have a margin or this area where there's, you know, that fight or flight bit. So when it crosses this threshold, it's like fight, right? Like now you're in danger, you're triggered. Most people have a pretty broad area. Well, people that are dealing with a lot of PTSD, it's closer. So something could happen way down the fucking street over there and you feel threatened and you're angry about it. As if news, Facebook, whatever, you take complete personal anger at this. This is PTSD.
I'm definitely going to have to talk about that with my therapist.
I did not
think about that.
Yeah, like maybe you're absorbing a lot of this energy from a lot of the news and a lot of the stuff that you're watching and maybe
that's not contributing.
You're taking a personal offense or a personal stake at it.
Like they're coming at you.
Personal damage, bro.
Yeah, you're taking personal damage. And you're staying informed, which is great because you're way better than me. So you're staying informed.
But you seem a lot happier.
But you had a traumatic situation in your life.
Yeah.
And it fucking sucked, that's what I identified. I figured it out. And I was like, okay.
I'm going to definitely talk to my therapist about that one. That's an important one. I did not think about that at all.
Look at that. These break through. Some therapy sessions.
Hell yeah.
The polar opposite of an Alpha Bro podcast.
That's right.
Polar fucking opposite.
Polar opposite.
Fucking proud of the podcast.
Gotta love it.
God damn it.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, it's better than that Hulk Hogan show.
Oh,
right?
Jesus fucking Christ. God damn it.
Good times, good times.
Oh, we're all right. Better than
them. All right, are we good on this topic?
Yeah.
I think this.
I think this was a very healthy one.
I think I'm gonna have to look into some ritual combat for myself.
Yeah, I think this is a very healthy one.
I mean, even if it's just one-on-one training. Yeah. Start with you. Even if it's one-on-one training, you know where I am.
I do know where you are. You're right.
Where he's at.
But I don't even feel like some of the classes are like, if you wanted to just do one-on-one, you could just pick a partner, go in a corner, and train.
Yeah.
You could.
Easily. And still be part of the class. You know?
Yep.
Yep.
I think it is very. We are definitely not built to be.
Because I want to see you roll against Andrew.
Andrew. Do I know Andrew?
No.
Somebody.
I like Rolo Andrew. Andrew's got a really good
actually. Fun.
And he's actually very good at controlling his weight.
Yeah.
He actually started. I saw him in a Muay Thai class.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, like, you good? He's like, yeah. He's like, I realize I'm not on my feet that much, and I kind of want to get on my feet. And
yeah, man.
Yeah.
So. You know, big ups to him.
It is.
And he's just the chillest dude. Yeah. He's just like
mad chill.
Yeah, he's just super chill.
I love you guys tend to be.
And he rolls at your pace.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know,
that's what I said. He's gotten really good at it. Yeah, he's gotten really good at, like, you know, early on he used to just like, you know, he'll just get on you and just like, all right. But like, you know, no, he's got a really good. Like, I like rolling with Andrew.
Yeah. His training
he is a heavier guy, but when I roll with him, he adjusts that by rolling to my pace and rolling to my speed.
Yeah, because it was challenging on both sides.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really cool guy.
So, it's, you know, we're both working. So, it's good. Rather than him just being on top of me, like, we're both working. So, it's great.
I am learning to better manage my time because I didn't realize how much you really need to pay attention to that.
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing where it's just like, oh, I'm just going to work this extra 5 minutes turns into 3 hours.
Yeah.
And now you've clocked out like 4 hours later than you were supposed to.
Yeah.
I'm learning on that. And maybe I'll take a little bit of that time and
turn into a bit of a croissant time. Just
there you go.
Stop letting them steal time from me, motherfucker.
That's right.
All right, guys. So, very, very healthy edition of the
D Squad.
Go get your training on, people.
Go get your training
Not
on.
Not just
it.
Gym. Go get some rituals.
Don't wallow.
Listen,
it could
be fencing. I know some people who are into like sword fighting. There's
sword fighting is fun.
Boxing.
Yes.
There's capoeira. There's,
I still want to get into archery.
So many different things. Karate.
Archery's awesome.
There's any number of things. Like those things that you ever thought, like, you know, Taibo. That looks cool. Whatever. I want to try it. I want to say Taibo.
Taibo?
I said actual
That is
combat.
A black owned you know, like, business, sir.
Shout out to Billy Blinks.
Shout out Billy Blinks. Fitness Wesley Snipes.
We'll catch you on the next one.
Peace. Bye.